You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
First, and Elijah challenged them. Then he mocked them and their God. And finally, he killed them. 450 of them, prophets of Baal. Why was the prophet of God acting this way, challenging the prophets of Baal, mocking them, and then finally putting them to death? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson on Elijah and the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he bent monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
How bad had the idolatry of Israel become in the time of Elijah?
It had become very bad simply because they were practicing what we call syncretism, which means you can believe in two different gods and not have a problem with that. That's a very, very familiar item that's going on in the United States today and throughout the world, where people are saying it really doesn't matter what god you believe in. Every god can bring you to safety. And in fact, there are some churches that have no problem no longer doing missions to, well, Buddhists or Hindus, etc., because they say, we don't know how God brings people to faith, and maybe he brings them to faith through that. And particularly since the gods of the pagans, Babylon, and Asherah, that they were considered to be the gods of rain. And there was a lot of drought going on that God had done because of the wickedness of the people. And so the people started turning to gods who were in charge. It kind of reminds you of what happened in Egypt, where the 10 plagues came specifically against the various individuals that were gods of the people of Egypt. So what we're dealing with here is a fact that God will not allow his divinity to be looked on in such a way that you can worship two gods at one time. And therefore, there was a real problem in the land at that time.
So why couldn't the worship of Baal and the worship of the true God, even if they weren't trying to worship both gods, why couldn't it coexist in Israel?
From God's point of view, it could not coexist simply because that's like a child deciding that they're going to have two different sets of parents. They had their own parents, but maybe they don't have that much money. They don't live in a nice house. They don't have a nice car. But they have a friend at school who has wonderful parents from their point of view. They live in a rich house. They have a lot of money. The kids get a lot of gifts. And so the parents or the children decide, well, they're going to be my parents also. Well, who are they going to follow in listening to the commands? You see, every god outside of Christianity, the holy triune God, every one of them is a work righteousness God. You have to do things that were going to be seen happening by these prophets in order to get their God to do something. In contrast to the Christian God, where you don't do anything. The Christian God does everything. And so the God of Baal was one who refused to do anything unless you did something for him. And that's what the big difference is between Christianity and every other religion. It's impossible to follow two masters when they so contradict each other as to the way of salvation. Only the Christian God, one is saved by grace through faith. on account of Jesus Christ.
So why does Elijah challenge all of the prophets of Baal?
Well, he wants to make a point and also to defeat the prophets of Baal. When you ask most people how many prophets there were, they would say, well, there were 450. But no, there were actually 850, according to verse 19 of 1 Kings 18, where Elijah says, and he's talking to Ahab, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Jezebel was the king's wife, King Ahab, and she was very, very idolatrous. She was the one who brought in all these idols and had worship places made for them. And so she was a terrible woman. And in fact, after Elijah done the miracle through God that was going to happen, she swore to put him to death within 24 hours. So she was not a nice woman at all. And there were 850 prophets who were therefore at this location that Elijah had asked them to come, Mount Carmel.
What was the challenge?
The challenge was pretty simple. Both sides, and that would be the 850 prophets, they would prepare a bull. Each side would be giving a bull. Elijah had one, and then Baal's prophets, the 450 men, they would prepare the bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but they were not to put any fire on it. And then Elijah says, I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire on it. And then you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And that's all in capital letters, which is the name of Yahweh. And the God who answers it by fire, he is God. And all the people answered at that point, that is well spoken. They wanted to see that. So Elijah had the prophets of Baal choose for themselves a bull, prepare it first, and call upon the name of their God, but to put no fire to it. And so that was the challenge that they were given by Elijah, with Elijah then going to be calling on his God, the only true God, and the prophets of Baal calling on their God.
So why does Elijah, when the prophets of Baal make their best attempt to meet this challenge and Baal does not respond, why does Elijah mock Baal?
He mocks them because they are living by salvation by works, and therefore their God will answer them by works. So the first thing that happened, they began to call on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. And the Bible says in verse 26, chapter 18 of 1 Kings, there was no voice. Nobody answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. Then Elijah mocked them. He said, maybe you're not crying loud enough, for maybe he is musing, sleeping, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, and you need to awaken him. Well, what they did, they cried even louder. And then they began to do something that was their custom to get on God's good side. They cut themselves with blades, with swords and lances. It says, until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Now, unfortunately, that happens even among Christians. There are those who have prayer chains, which I am not opposed to. For example, If you're a member of the congregation, you may get an email that one of the members is going in for surgery, and it is asked that you pray for them. That is fine. But then there are those prayer chains, sometimes within even Christian churches, where they have the idea that the more people praying for someone, the better are the odds that they will be healed. Now, we know that everybody who loved Jesus was praying for him when he was on the cross. And guess what? He stayed on the cross until he died, because that was the will of God. And so what's happening here is these folks have an idol that does not exist, but in their imagination, they made up views about the idol that coincided with the way you live. The better you do in life, the further you get ahead in passing from one grade to another, in being promoted to a higher job, and maybe getting a mate for life, this kind of thing. And so they just assume that that's the way God operated also. And that is what we call living under the law. Living under your obedience, you're imagining that there is a lot better going to happen to you. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk about what happened after they were just about finished doing what they could, and then Elijah took over.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today. It is Elijah and the Prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. Tom had mentioned that the prophets of Baal cut themselves. Why did they react that way? You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in-church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
Sent to serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Elijah and the Prophets of Baal. Pastor Tom Baker of Long Gospel is our guest. Tom, before the break, you mentioned that the prophets of Baal, when nothing happened, they cut themselves. Why did they react that way?
Yes. Remember I was saying that all religions outside of Christianity are based on common sense and common experience. So you're a child and your parents tell you something you don't like doing and you get angry with them. And so you run out of the house and you trip and you fall down and you cut your knee. Your parents come rushing up to you, and rather than getting what you expected, namely, how dare you disobey us, the parents are very wonderful towards you and say, are you okay? Did you hurt yourself? Here, let me help you up. Let's bandage your knee. And there's just a wonderful friendliness on the part of the parents, and the love comes through. Well, people take those kinds of concepts and put it into their religion and say, wow, if we can get God to recognize also that we are hurt, and because of our love for him, then he will be kind and answer our prayers. So many people, in fact, Martin Luther did this in the Roman Catholic Church, that he would sleep on really bad mattresses, he would whip himself and these kinds of things. And this was thought to be, well, perhaps a punishment for his sins, but it is a way that the church taught that this is helping God to see how much you really care for him. And so this is why they would cut themselves, because in everyday life, when somebody who cares for you sees that you're hurt, they often will be very kind towards you, answer your prayers, maybe give you an ice cream cone, etc. And so that's how they consider they could manipulate their God, by cutting themselves as though that were showing some kind of great love to their God.
What did Elijah do when it was his turn to call upon his God?
Well, what he did, a lot of people don't realize that the altar of the Lord, because of Jezebel, had not only not been used, it had been broken down. And in verse 30, Elijah repairs the altar of the Lord, takes 12 stones, that's the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with those stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Then he did something. He made a big trench about the altar as great as would contain, in this translation, it says, two seahs, S-E-A-H-S, of seed. A seah was about 7 quarts. So these trenches could hold 14 quarts of water. And after that was built, he put the wood in order on the altar, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood. And then he said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And then he said, do it a second time. And then he said, do it a third time. Now, the number 3 is pretty important. There's a Father, there's a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And the water not only ran around the altar, it filled the trench also with water. And then when the time came that it was Elijah's turn, he came near, he didn't cut himself, he didn't any do good work. Very important what he says. O Lord, again, all capital letters, this is the name of God from Exodus, said to Moses, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, which means he's a God of the living, not of the dead. And he says, I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. So this is the first time we hear in this passage that Elijah is following the word from the Lord, whether given it to him in a vision or however, and that's what he was told by God to do. And so that's what he does. Then he says, answer, O Lord, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God. Then it says, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. Maybe it was like a fire over Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever. And the wood and the stones and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw that, They fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Now, when I was at the seminary, the group called, which became Seminex, had not yet left. They hadn't walked out. And I remember being in one class, and the professor was trying to explain how Elijah did what he did. It was that he had not really put water into the trench, but a form of liquid that was like gasoline. And therefore, when he allowed a flame to touch it, well, you know what happens with a trench full of gasoline, the whole thing burnt up. That's how far professors at the seminary were going to deny the supernatural character of the miracles of God. Now, the Bible doesn't say that at all. It says that actually the flames came from heaven, and the people said, "The Lord, He is God." And then Elijah says, "Seize the prophets of Baal, not let one of them escape." And he brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. Now, the Concordia Publishing House material does a good job as usual, and that's for the Sunday school lessons if folks are using them, and we would encourage you to do that, Enduring Faith, where it talks about that's the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Today, we are being confronted by the prophets of Baal and Jezebel, simply those who deny what the Bible has to say, and that Jesus demonstrates his power over sin, death, and the devil. Now, although there is a Bible passage that talks about the power of the devil, I took a look at the original Greek there, and it doesn't say the word power. It's really giving an indication that the devil has great influence on people, but the devil has no power. There are not two powers in the universe, good and evil. There's only one, God. And therefore, remember in the book of Job, the devil had to go to God to get permission to do things to Job. And that also happens in our life when we experience suffering from the devil or deception or temptation. This is God giving permission to the devil to do that, as he did with, remember, Abraham, "Kill your son, sacrifice him to me." But it wasn't that God wanted him to do that. It was a test. So a lot of times, churches are giving tests by God to stand up for the word of Christ. The devil has no power over me. I remember Martin Luther, when he thought the devil was in his room once, he threw a ink container at the devil against the wall. The fact of the matter is, the devil can precipitate wickedness within us through temptation and such, but he has no power over Christians who now have the Holy Spirit within them, and therefore we are able to be like Jesus in humbling ourselves, be becoming a servant, as we realize that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And so the Sunday school children need to be made well aware that they have nothing to fear from Satan, because whatever happens to them is always with God's permission, but you never get more than you can take, and there's often a way of escape through faith in Jesus Christ.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, Tom, what's the law and gospel of this story?
The law is that we don't trust Jesus. A lot of times we turn to the world like these folks did, to the gods who are in control of rain. And we may turn to the world, especially young people do in groups at high school, and follow what their peers are doing rather than what their parents are saying. But the gospel says that Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice for those sins. So as we repent of them and have faith in his promises, heaven remains our home.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel for almost 30 years. He met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on cultural Marxism, talking with Pastor Paul Dare about the care of the Christian soul in a woke world. We'll discuss the Annunciation of Our Lord with Dr. John Bombaro and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. So, we have the prophet who refuses to capitulate, and God who answers his prayer. He continues to answer our prayers, even if they be as outstanding as Elijah's, through Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.